If you turn to 1 John, the 5th chapter, chapter 5, verse number 3. For this is the love of God. What's the love of God? That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, not a burden. Oh, do I have to? What we're demonstrating to God is when we accept what his word says and we respond to it, what we're demonstrating is the love of God in our hearts. Then 3 John, starting in verse number 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, contingent, even as thy soul prospers. Now, these may be words that the apostle wrote, but they're words from God. Don't look at this as a man writing. This is God. And what God is saying, I wish above anything that you would prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy than when God sees you walk into the house of the Lord. No greater joy than when God sees you raising your hands and worshiping him. There isn't anything that's more important than that. And because you're doing well spiritually, God then can extend prosperity and help to you, you see. And then our last scripture is in John chapter 8. And verse number 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I walked into a Pentecostal church bound, and then I was set free. Couldn't raise my hands. Couldn't even say, Jesus, I love you. But he set me free. Free to have freedom from all of the things that weighed me down. And the same is true for each of us. God, again, we ask your blessing on your word and your people. Let there be an anointing in this place. We're grateful for the gifts of the Spirit that are in operation in the true church of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So God wants the very best for each of us beyond what we could even imagine. I think we put limitations on God. Well, you blessed me last Sunday. I don't expect I'll be blessed this Sunday. Or you did this for me. Now I don't expect you're going to do any more for a while because we put limitations on God. But it is all contingent on how well we're doing spiritually. It should not be a surprise that when we're doing well, like Pastor Portman talked about, if we're reading and having conversation with God and we're doing good things, is there any surprise that Michaela is going to be blessed because of what she's doing? She's doing well, and God will bless her as a result of it. But if it's a matter of duty, if it's a matter of, okay, I'm here, it just doesn't reap the rewards. And the closer we get to God, the more it is his good pleasure that we prosper, and that we're in good health. It is God's greatest joy to see us continue to walk in full truth, not putting aside some truth because it's not advantageous to us. When I came into the church, I was so enamored and smitten by the love of God, so overwhelmed that I could physically feel the presence of God, that God was so real because I had been in religion, not relationship, that I'd do anything for him. What is it that you want me to do? And over the years, I've gone through some difficult times, as every one of us have, but never once have I thought about walking away. If I just sat down and thought about the people who used to be sitting in here, who used to be on this platform, I'd have a breakdown. Something caused them not to want to live for God anymore. I don't understand it. When you're exposed to the kingdom of God, when you feel and experience some of the supernatural of God, to then say, well, that's not important, I'm going on with my life without God, I don't understand it. However, I've over the years seen people come into this glorious truth and then walk away as though they never experienced God in the first place. I've tried to figure out why some people can go through some of the most difficult times that you could possibly imagine and never budge, always stand, always be faithful to God, while others, at the mere hint of trouble, run for the hills. It's a mystery. It's a conundrum. Even Paul couldn't figure it out. Paul couldn't understand how some people were so excited about God one day, and then down the road, all of a sudden, they walked away. Paul invested much time in a man who was a coppersmith. And in Acts, the 19th chapter, Alexander the coppersmith defended Paul when people rose up against him. He raised his hand and said, stop this. You don't know what you're doing coming against the man of God. But later Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, for he hath greatly withstood our words. How in the world can that happen? But you realize it could happen to you. Because those who have walked away thought it could never happen to me, but circumstances and time caused them to change their mind. So what happened? He didn't totally leave the world, and so the world got a hold of him again. Was he offended by somebody? Did he not get the promotion that he should have? And I think yesterday I found the answer to all backsliding. It's this. Jesus said in John 8:35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth. Ever. The word servant in the Greek means slave. Not a very popular word today. In other words, someone who was not there of their own free will. That's what a slave is, an indenture. I don't want to be here, but I have to be here. They felt constrained and obligated to stay in the house. But the son, well, the son became a part of the family. Who loved to be in the house of the family and will never leave. I don't care if my brother, the prodigal, leaves. I'm staying home with Dad. I'm going to stay with the farm, you see, because I know the benefits are in the house. They're not out there. And that's why Jesus said in the next verse, and we quote the next verse all of the time, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It's the one who becomes a part of the family, not just obligated to be there, not a slave, not a servant, not somebody who feels like, well, Pastor he's going to call me. The question then becomes, do we feel obligated or constrained to come to church? Are you here this morning because of an obligation? Because if you are here for an obligation or a constraint, chances are next week, next month, next year, you won't be here, because it isn't constraints that keep us here. It's the love of God that keeps us here. Do we feel a part of the family? Glad to be here together. With most religion, it's all about duty. It's got nothing to do with love, because they've never entered into a love relationship. If there isn't a romance going on with our God, then it's ritual and it won't last. We all decide how far we will penetrate the veil of God. You can still be in the outer court, or maybe you can go into the holy place, but you never ever got into the holiest of holies, where the real action is, where the real Shekinah glory of God is, when it falls on you and you feel almost paralyzed because of the presence of God. It's not going to take a whole lot for you to come back tonight or next week or next month. Because the love of God constraineth us. That's what the Bible says. If there is no commitment or relationship, then we're susceptible to every wind of doctrine, tossed to and fro by people who lie in wait to deceive us. It's not that important for you to do these things anymore. No, the love of God is to keep the commandments, the whole commandments of God, not just, well, yeah, I'll try to make it. And all of a sudden, COVID-19 shows up, and that's a good excuse not to come. Something else happens, that's a good excuse not to come. Why would you want an excuse to come or not come? There comes a time in our walk with God that we must make decisions to serve God simply because He is God. And He loves us. Not because the pastor said so. Not because it's just the right thing to do. Or all my friends do it. And at that point, we become unmovable from the house of God. Unmovable. Tenacious. Stubborn. I'm not leaving. Doesn't matter. I've been here on Sundays when we had 2 foot of snow and we canceled church and people are still here. Didn't have to be perfect excuse, but I want to be in the house of God. There is something very important. There is something special about being in the house of God. Yes, you can watch the videos of YouTube. You can even go online and get extra preaching, but there's something about gathering ourselves together in the house of God, because God sees your commitment, you see. Take a look at Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews 10 and verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Do you realize we entered into the holiest this morning? That's what we're feeling. Not every service is like that. Not every church is like that. But there's a presence of God that was here. He met us because of our attitude and because of our worship. by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Because he died on the cross, we can now enter into the holiest of place, a dimension that we could not have ever gotten to, and having and high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. For if we willfully sin after we come, have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. God's saying, be faithful. Let us hold fast the profession, the acknowledgement of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised without wavering. Resolute, confident, unmovable in our commitment to God. And then it becomes so easy to serve God. See? If you love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, all the other commandments, no problem. No problem at all. Turn to Exodus, the 21st chapter. You know, we have the New Testament, the Old Testament. It's the old will of God in that it's the new will of God. But so much of the Old Testament is more applicable to us than it was to the people who were living in the Old Testament. And so there's all these shadows and types and examples for us that they didn't understand they were even doing, and it was for our admonition. So verse number 1 of that 21st chapter in Exodus says, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. So if you were indentured for 6 years, somebody bought you, you were theirs. Back then, it was a slave. It was a commitment. After serving for 6 years, I'm out of here. I'm free. I can do whatever I want. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and the children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love the master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free, then the master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or onto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. We're talking about the church here. I saw something yesterday as I was putting this together. What I saw for the first time is verse number 4. If the man decides to leave the master's house, the wife and his children are not to go, but they belong to the master. what I see happen from time to time is maybe a dad will leave the church. Okay, you want to leave, that's fine. But the kids and the wife, they're mine. Or vice versa, the wife leaves and the husband stays. See, the reality of it is if the parents leave, the kids become victims. Of course, this is a type and shadow of the church, and we all work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, everybody. I've seen teenagers stay when their parents have left because they love the master's house, you see. God never forces us to stay in his house. There's no pleasure to God if we are indentured to him, that we're forced to come, that we're forced to stay. You see, some of us came in kicking and screaming. I know I did. But then we felt the love of God that constrains us and say, hey, this isn't so bad. I want to be here. I determined I was only going to come on Sunday mornings. But then that wasn't enough. And then Sunday nights, and I thought, well, Wednesdays, no, I got too much work at the office. And then I thought, no, I want to be in the master's house. You see, you get to the place where you can't get enough of God if you love him. And no matter what our relationship is, there's always going to be challenges. When we first came into the church, it was the relatives that, hey, why do you go to that church? Friends that left me. The best man at my wedding, I don't want anything to do with you anymore if you're going to be a part of that crazy religion. It's all laid out in Matthew, the 10th chapter. Your worst enemy will be those of your household. Why is that? Because it's most effective. Because if anything is going to take you away from God, it's going to be your best friends and your family. Hallelujah. But I feel like those challenges caused me to make a greater stand for God right at the beginning. And metaphorically, we walk to the door of God's house and let the master bore a hole in our ear. And we're saying, I'm staying. You can leave. I'm staying. A lot of people who have made decisions, I'm leaving. I'm sorry, I'm staying. If there are six people in this church, I'm staying because I love the master. And I love his commandments. They're not grievous to me. It's a sign of our unwavering love and commitment. I choose Jesus, not because I had to, because I want to. We were slaves to this world, and that didn't bother us at all. We're slaves to this flesh, and we didn't have a problem with that at all. But we have been bought. The master bought the servants. And he's saying, now I want you to be in my house, not somebody else's house. I did that 43 years ago, and it was the best decision I ever made in my life. Lot's wife looked back, and it destroyed her. I'm not looking back. I'm looking forward. The all in the ear was saying, I am a permanent fixture in the house of the Lord, much like David's nail in a sure place that I'm not leaving. This is a permanent situation for me. Maybe I'm going to have to sit in a different pew for a while, but I'm here to stay. Glory to God. Amen. I remember years ago driving down I-94 south. I even remember where I was, and I said to my wife, you know, I'm that stubborn German. I make those decisions, and I stay with them, and maybe that's why God loves me. And the power of God moved in that car. Because God does love tenacious saints who are saying, I made a commitment, I'm staying with the commitment, nothing is going to cause me to change my mind. You will never get me out of here. Not trouble, not sickness, not rude saints, not hard sayings, not COVID-19. Nothing's going to stop me from coming to church. I drove by several churches this morning. Their parking lots were completely empty. I've talked to some who have said, we're not going back to church until after the first of the year. What's wrong with you? Glory to God. I'm here to stay because I love the Master, because he provides for me, he protects me, he loves my family. He does for me what I can't do for myself. And I know I am free to leave, but I'm staying. Paul said to the men who were in the boat, it looked like it was going to be shipwrecked. I think it's Acts 26. He said, except you stay in the boat, you cannot be saved. It's a choice the Hebrews made on the day of Passover. Following God's instructions, they applied the blood of the lamb to the doorpost of the house in Exodus 12. It's not only saved the firstborn, but the son set him free. Saved the whole family. I wonder how many there are in this place today that one person made a decision, and because that one person made a decision, your whole family is in the church today. But it took one. Listen, the greatest sign that you really love God is an open ear to his word. When people no longer will listen to the voice of God, they're really not interested in the preaching anymore, then it's a sign they are no longer a servant of God. I've never had an awl put through my ear. Thank you, Jesus. It's got to be painful. We all go through some painful situations because we're serving God. It's not always a bed of roses, but when we make a stand for God, you know, Jesus had to go through things, the apostles had to go through things, and we too will go through things, but I shall not be moved. Like a tree that's planted by the water, I'm not going to be moved. I know the pain could be greater out there than the pain in here, folks. I've got a hope beyond this life, beyond the pain, beyond anything else. And yet God didn't just endure an awl to his ear, but spikes through his hands and his feet. I'm not leaving you or forsaking you. There'll be holes in my hands, holes in my feet. So we get to make a choice every day. And really, it is a daily decision. Do I serve him or do I serve my own pleasures? And every day, we really stand at an open door. Do we leave or do we stay? Do we come back or do we stay away? Will we stand at the doorpost, the framework of salvation? But as Joshua said, as for me, my house will serve the Lord. It's individuals. It's families. It's people who are the priests of their house who are saying, no, as for me, in my house, you can do whatever. You have a free choice. You're living in a free country. You can do whatever you want, but I'm constrained by my love for God. Not because I have to, but because I just love the Master. And I know there isn't anything that he wouldn't do for me. Perhaps the choice we make this morning will determine our freedom tomorrow. I'm staying in the Master's house. His commandments are not grievous. Not even a pandemic will keep me away from the Master's house. I have a friend in Arizona, pastor in Arizona. Half his church hasn't come back. There's something wrong with that. When just a few weeks out of service, now they're not coming back. Was there really a commitment to God all of the years they had been coming to church? Take a look at our last scripture. It's in Revelation, the second chapter. Revelation 2, starting in verse number 1. The words are in red. Unto the angel of the church, or the pastor of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. That's us. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. That's us. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Do you have an ear this morning? If we leave our first love, the consequences, God will remove his candlestick out of this place. The reason we're feeling what we're feeling in this place this morning in worship, the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, is because people have not left their first love. They still have an intimate relationship with God. But if you leave your first love, the thing that brought you here in the first place, you know what God says? I'm taking the candlestick out of here. What does that mean? The candlestick, it was the place that held the oil. And if you're not here because you love God, but because you have to, because you know it's right, because of a duty, eventually the power and the presence of God will no longer be with us. Then we become just like any other denominational church. Go through the motion and not experience the presence of God like we experienced this morning. I don't want God to remove his Spirit from this place.
Here.
Church. Remember what brought you here in the first place. And you'll never have to worry about backsliding. You'll never have to worry about provision. Because we're in the Master's house and He'll provide for us. But if you give yourself an option, next year, you probably won't be here. If you decide there are more important places to be than the Master's house, chances are next year you won't be here. Because His commandments, they're not grievous to me, because I love the Master. Would you stand with me, please? The altar's open, would you come?